Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening. Thank you for joining us because you're now rocking with the best. My name is Kwame, and of course, this is Soul on Ice, the podcast. Do us a favor, hit us up on all social media platforms provided by our Minister of Social Information, Brother B. Also, because it's all about numbers, we need you to subscribe, rate, and review. Also, tell a friend. Today, we've got a great guest joining us representing Boston. She goes by the name of Bia. She's our first hip-hop artist that's going to be joining the show. She's going to talk about a little bit about music, and she did this really cool intro to the NHL playoffs. So we'll get to her in just a few minutes. But first, Double Trouble is back in the house. The Get Busy Boys, Akil Thomas, Elijah Roberts. What's going on, youngins? Let's start off with the man who's been away for so long, Akil Thomas. What's up, man?
What's up, Kwame? Just hanging out, still in LA. But I was curious to know who paid you to wear that shirt.
What shirt are we talking about?
The shirt you're wearing that's ripped on the sleeve there. What century is that from?
See, it's my Batman shirt. I always got to rock the Dark Knight, and it just happened. You know what's so funny about that is, like, I haven't worn it so long, and I realized it was ripped. So it kind of looks like there's like a little tassel thing going on, and I was looking for some scissors. I could not find scissors, and I said to myself, if you don't cut that off, these kids are going to rib you. And I was like, nah, whatever. They won't even notice it. But of course, you notice everything. So thank you very much for making fun of my Batman shirt.
No problem. Anytime.
So what's been going on with you, man? E, we're going to get to you in a second, but we got to find out what's going on. This guy has been out of the mix for a while. How was the end of the season with the Ontario rain? How did you do?
Yeah, obviously been gone for a while. So a lot of stuff has kind of happened. In that short while, we had the last stretch of the season there, and then weird year this year with just our division doing playoffs. It was a really weird setup. So I guess the first three teams in our division got a bye, and then pretty much every team made the playoffs for like a buy-in game. So first game was do or die. If you win, you play the other team who won the do or die, and then it's another do or die, and then the winner of that goes on to do like best of the three series with the top three teams. So we played Colorado in game one, and went into overtime, and it was a crazy game. Like, I think we went up first, and then they kind of came back, and they were up, and then we came back, and then we went into overtime. It was a great game, but we ended up losing in overtime, which sucked. But you know, it was a long season, and we had a really good time next 4 days as a team. We got to really experience LA and actually go out and do some stuff. So it was pretty fun. Tough way to end a year in overtime, but it was a blast this whole year. So it was definitely looking forward to next year.
Akil, I can't believe you have the audacity to call out Kwame's shirt when you're sitting there right now in. I hope there's a reason why you have to wear this hospital gown that you're wearing of a shirt, because
you look like a doctor or something.
You have some audacity to call Kwame out when you're wearing what you're wearing.
Thank you. Thank you, Elijah. Appreciate that.
See, Elijah Shelton Roberts. I got labrum surgery 4 or 5
what
days
surgery?
Ago. Labrum. So okay. It's the socket of your shoulder. And as a lot of people know, and Elijah would know firsthand, I've had some shoulder issues from like going back to my third year in the O, and kind of dislocated both my shoulders in the same year. Told I probably should get surgery, and I figured that year we were going for it. I wanted to stick it out and see if I could play. And I mean, I made it 2.5 years without surgery. So just figured it kind of gave me troubles this year, and I have a whole off season obviously to kind of rehab and do stuff like that. So decided to finally get them taken care of, and So I need both done. I've adjusted my right one, and I gotta wait like probably like 3 weeks to do my left one, and then I'll kind of experience being a cripple all over again. So that'll be fun. But basically, I'm pretty happy just because, like, Elijah knows before games, I'm doing shoulder exercises, like warm every muscle up. So I give myself the best chance to not kind of get injured that game, because it's literally something that is on your mind every game when you kind of have two bum shoulders. So we went done some imaging after the season, and the doctor's like, yo, your shoulders are garbage. So I'm finally getting them fixed, and I'm honestly happy because I know I won't have to worry about them ever again, hopefully. And I just, you know, it's gonna obviously be a tough summer, just doing rehab pretty much the whole time, but I'm excited because I'm hopefully, you know, coming back stronger than before. So pretty pumped, pretty excited, and hopefully it goes well. The first surgery went well, so I'm happy so far.
What's the recovery time on that?
Yeah, so it's 4 to 6 months, but you know, wow. I'm built different, so probably like 2 months for me.
You think so, eh? You can't cut me, but that's one of those surgeries you don't want to come back too early.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about you know, how I feel and stuff. And honestly, I had surgery like what, 5 days ago, 4 days ago, but it honestly feels way better than I expected it to. Like, I think there's like 3 pins in my shoulder socket, so it should kind of feel messed up, but it's been pretty good so far. And I'll probably start doing some exercises next week and just kind of go from there. So
you got a nice little scar going on?
I don't know, because I had to keep the strips on. So I think they made like a few incisions in my shoulder, but I haven't even seen what they look like. I haven't seen if they're sick or not. I'm not sure. We'll see.
So you're gonna be out in LA all summer now?
Yeah. Whenever they do surgeries, LA likes to kind of keep their eye on it and give their players to the rehab people at our rink, and I'm sure we have like the best available. So that's just the way things have always kind of been. Hopefully I can kind of get home for at least a little bit in August or something, but for now I'm definitely here for the time being. And just kind of, you know, it kind of sucks to not be able to come home for a little bit, but it'll pay off in the end.
I think you're just scared because you were talking all this BS about when you get home and all this, and I think you just got a little scared and didn't want to come have to face me.
Well, you see, when I went into my doctor's appointment like 2 days after the season ended, he was like, look, like, I really think you should, you know, you should do surgery. Like, you'll be out pretty much a whole summer, but hopefully, you know, you won't miss too much next season. I looked at him and I was like, honestly, doc, like, I got to get home and play Elijah in a 2-on-2 game. And so he wasn't too happy I said that, but
but he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best.
Yeah, but I figured, you know, in August I'll fly back when my shoulder's a little bit better, and I'll beat you with a shitty shoulder too. So whatever.
Nice one. Nice. Elijah, playoffs first round's basically almost done, but I don't know what's going on with the home team. Just so everybody knows, we're recording this on Sunday, May 30th. So by the time this episode comes out, things will definitely have changed. We are hoping that the Toronto Maple Leafs will go on to the second round, but after Saturday night's game, I don't know. Your thoughts, Elijah, because you thought it was going to be goaltending. It's definitely not goaltending.
No, but the other thing that I did say was I said that Toronto's just been inconsistent. Right. I said, like, they have flashes where they win like 8 games in a row. Like, they went through this year, and then they would lose like 3 or 4 in a row. And you didn't really see that from teams like Vegas, Colorado, like the Islanders, Boston. And they kind of put themselves in a position where now it could come down to goaltending. And as good as Campbell's been, Price is still the best goalie in the world. And if you don't want to say he's the best, he's top two, top three. And they put themselves in a situation where they can outshoot them 45-20 and lose this next game. Jeez. Because when it comes down to one game, you know, anything could happen. And when I look at all the teams that have moved on, goaltending's been a big part of it. Winnipeg, obviously, Hellebuck was probably the best goalie in the first round. The fact that Minnesota even had a chance was strictly because of how good their goaltending was. Colorado just walked all over St. Louis, but in that Islander series as well, I think that was like the difference, really. Both teams. Yeah,
but hold on a second. Hold on a second. But I yes, Price is Price, but the Leafs are still scoring on them. Down by three goals, down by two. They're still getting them. The issue is they, you know, when it's time to shut it down. Yes, Carey Price does that, but there is some sort of lapse. So are you saying it's goaltending because Carey Price won't let in that last goal, or is it
with? Are you talking about with Toronto this series here?
Yeah,
it's. The reason that Montreal hasn't already won the series is because of the depth that Toronto went out and got
right
to get that secondary scoring. Because if they should not be in the series with Matthews and Marner having one goal combined.
Crazy. Crazy. Akil, have you had a chance to watch anything while you're out in LA?
Yeah. Been watching the games. Last night I watched a game. I just kind of thought that Toronto was kind of flat. Like they would dominate. I think they came out kind of the better team.
No urgency.
Yeah, no urgency at all. Just kind of like their top players are like going in on the forecheck with like 4 minutes left in the game, just kind of like nonchalant. It's just like, this is the playoffs. Like you could win the series this game if you guys play five hard minutes and score. Like the series is yours. So it kind of just looked like they didn't really want it that much last night.
So here, let me ask you guys a question, because you guys play at that high level of hockey. What is it about an individual that you don't turn it? Like, you would think that you're in a position like that, you would turn it up. Like you're going to go hard body karate. And I noticed that about the Leafs. I'm looking at them and I'm just like, yo, these guys, they are playing like they don't even want to play. Like some of these guys look like it's just casual, and it's, I don't want to say lazy, but it almost feels lazy. So what is it about an individual or a group that makes you not, you know, turn it up?
One thing that I think a lot of spectators don't understand is like playoffs are really, really tough on the body. You play every other day. Mm-hmm. And like, if you have a couple bumps and bruises, like you have no rest. Like you're playing every other day, and fatigue is definitely a factor. Like last night I was watching like overtime, and you could just tell like how tired they are. You know what I mean? Like, you really get no time to rest. I think that's something a lot of people should like kind of just understand. Like it's a grind. Playoffs is a grind. I finished like, you know, I play like my season like about a week ago, and I'm still like, my body still is in like recovery mode. So it's hard. Playoffs is tough.
Yeah. I think like sometimes when it comes to like playoffs, players get frustrated with not performing the way they're like used to. And I don't think that it's like they don't want to win. It just, like Akil said, it does take a toll on you, like with your body, but also like mentally. Like if you're Matthew scoring 40 goals in however many games to like being at one goal, he's like, you might get into trying to do too much, or, you know, just like gripping the stick too much. And there's no doubt in my mind that like all of those players want to win. Like nobody's playing
of course
doesn't want to win. I think it's just, it's a lot on a player sometimes. And, you know, if Toronto is going to win this series, those guys are going to have to step up next game, because the way that Montreal's been playing, their young guys, their old guys, everything. I think those guys are going to have to step up if they want to win this next game.
Best player on the team so far, Jason Spezza. in my opinion.
Yeah. Galchenyuk's been really good for them when he did, like,
I don't know. That pass he made the other night was disgusting.
Gross.
But he's just bringing that, he's bringing that intensity every night. And I mean, that's what it takes to win. You need players that are going to step up when your other guys aren't going. So
yeah,
I love the way Kerfoot plays. I like the way he skates. He's like Johnny Gaudreau a bit. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. Okay, so like we said, by the time this episode comes out, the series will be done. So, who are you guys saying is going on to the next round?
I'm going to say Toronto, just because the games in Toronto, there's so much pressure. Toronto is the better team. And it's not like their goalie sucks. They do have a good goalie that can have a big game.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game the whole time. And I think if Toronto's going to win, they're going to need their stars to kind of – they're going to have to be there that night.
Akil?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was going to go completely against Elijah, but I think Toronto is going to win. I think they're the better team, more depth, I think. I think with all the pressure that Toronto's probably, you know, been under, I think they'll just be like in the locker and be like, boys, we have no choice. Like, we got to do
somebody
this.
Somebody is saying something in the locker room.
And they have a bunch of vets in that room. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, this is something where maybe
That goes both ways, though. Montreal's like, that's why Montreal's even good, because they, like, guys like Perry are stepping up, Weber, Stahl.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, we'll go with the three-way split. We're all saying Toronto, so hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, Toronto Maple Leafs are going to the second round, and it won't get any easier because they're going to be playing the Winnipeg Jets.
And if they don't make it out the second round, do you think they break everything up?
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep the – I think they'll get rid of some of the vets, but I think Jumbo will be gone. I don't think they re-signed Simmer.
You know what I think, which absolutely sucks? I think if they lose this series, Nylander's gone.
Really? Nylander's been on fire, though.
He's been their best player, but they're not going to get rid of Marner. They're not going to get rid of Matthews.
No.
I don't think they're going to trade Tavares. That's your captain. And in order to make something happen, they got to clear up cap space. And
wow, that's bold. That's bold. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Good luck to the Maple Leafs. Akil Thomas, welcome back in the mix. Rest up your shoulder, my friend, and be patient with it. But it's great to have you back on the show. And DMX has a new album out right now for all of our listeners out there. It is a must get. My track is track number 8. DMX featuring Benny the Butcher, Conway the Machine, and West Side Gun. That song is incredible. And speaking of incredible, we have an incredible guest coming up. Her name is Bia. Capital B, capital I, capital A. She's from Boston. Hip hop artist, did a great intro for the NHL playoffs to start. And she's coming up. Patented intro goes like this. Half Puerto Rican, half Italiano, from the Bean Town, home of rappers like Guru from Gangstar, and from the almighty RSO Benzino. True hip hop heads will know what I'm talking about. But this young lady, she'll be carving her own legacy, okay? She combines hip-hop bars with trap beats and a little taste of that Latino heat. The hit single is Whole Lot of Money. And when you talk about artists to look forward to, this is definitely one. My soul brothers, my soul sisters, let me introduce to you the Puerto Rico princess, Bia. But in the clubs, they're going to be yelling, Bia, Bia. Bia, Bia.
Bia, Bia, yes, that was tea.
just getting a little silly there. How are you? Thank you so much for joining the Soul on Ice podcast.
Look, I'm happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Great. So let's get it from the beginning. Give me the come up story. How did music find you, and talk about the hip hop scene in Boston?
Well, I was always around rap. Like, there is a heavy rap scene in Boston. There's a lot of underground rappers, and I feel like Boston's one of the first cities to catch on to artists first, you know what I'm saying? Like, early on in their rap career. It's just not always like that for the hometown artists. So I think that caused me to go elsewhere when I started rapping. I felt like making music was something that I wanted to do. And I had an opportunity to go to Miami, learn under Pharrell, Famlay, and it just crafted me into a well-rounded artist, to the point that when I got out of that situation, I was ready to, like, you know, run my own business.
Okay, running your own business is so important, especially in this day and age. It's not like the old days, man, that, you know, taking you for granted and, you know, getting everything for themselves. So I'm really happy to hear that you're taking control of your own destiny. So traditionally, yeah. I got to ask, you know, what hip hop influenced you growing up?
Well, I'm definitely, like, my stepdad was a real rap head. Like, I listened to a lot of DMX, a lot of Busta Rhymes, a lot of, you know, Biggie, Tupac, Lil' Kim, like, just, you know, Jay-Z, the greats, of course. Like, he was always buying me unedited CDs, like Nas CDs that my mom wouldn't buy me and things like that. So I have already a love for rap, like, you know, probably more rap than R&B, but I loved, like, you know, Aaliyah when I was growing up. Like, that was, like, my aesthetic inspiration. So I think that a lot of that shows in my music. Like, people tell me I look like an R&B singer, but they'll tell me you sound, like, really hard for a rapper. Like, I believe you, you know what I'm saying? And they know that what I'm writing is coming from me. I really mean it. So, yeah, I think, like, those were some of my influences. But I think when I started rapping, I really didn't really listen to anybody on the mainstream scene other than Nicki Minaj. So when I wanted to hear something that I didn't really hear yet, you know what I'm saying? Like the early Nicki Minaj was, like, kind of the only thing I could relate to, you know? And then, you know, as I got older, I wanted to make the music I wasn't finding.
Are you making that? Are you feel like you're doing that right now for yourself?
Yeah, I definitely think I'm creating a lane for, like, you know, just like a certain type of people that just want to vibe, you know, people that's about their business, but also, like, you know, have a message. Like, I think that I carry a higher power, and, like, you know, like, I walk with, you know, God. Like, I really pray a lot. Like, I'm really tapped in on a spiritual level into putting good into the world and positivity into the world. And I think that reflects in my newer music. Like, it's just positive.
I love that. You mentioned that you worked with Pharrell. Who are you working with right now? And what would be, like, your dream collaboration?
You know, of course, like, I'm a girl's girl. So my dream collaboration, like, would be Rihanna. Like, that's my girl. But, you know, I just love good music. And I feel like whatever collaborations I do, I want them to be, like, organic. And I want the person to genuinely love me and my music as much as I love them. So that's really what I look for overall in collabs. Like, I don't just chase, like, whoever, like, is the hottest artist.
Good for you. I like that. That's kind of like an old school mentality, you know, back in the days when the collabs came about, is because there were people, and it was just like, you know, like, for example, like the collab between Biggie and Method Man on Biggie's first album. It's the same thing. Like, Biggie heard Meth, liked his style. He was like, and they were just telling him, it's like, if you're going to collab with somebody, collab with that guy. And that was organic. So I love that. I love that you're thinking that way. You put out the single Skate, which has some very cool hockey references in it. How did you connect with the National Hockey League?
It's so crazy because we cut the song Skate, and then my manager, Bruno, who's actually, like, one of my best friends, he was like, we need to get this to the NHL. Like, we need to go find the NHL. Who can hear this from the NHL? So he like made it a personal mission, like him and my label at Epic. Like, I think they just tracked down the NHL. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. please listen to the song. Like, we love it. We think it would be great. And, you know, somehow they got to the NHL and they were like, yeah, we like the song. We just want to make a couple changes and make it a little bit more like for our audience too. And, I was down to do that because, you know, I felt like I was bridging two worlds, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like that's an honor because there's already not a large rap presence in the NHL, but let alone being like a brown skin girl, I really wanted to, you know, put on for like my city and just open doors for other people. Like, I wanted to show people that today is my song, tomorrow could be your song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I love about that is, you know, the correlation between music and sports is so big. You see it in football, you see it in basketball, you see it in baseball, and hockey is trying to get into that world. It's trying to normalize minority faces and voices inside that space. So I really thought that your presence is something that, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, we're going to look back and be like, yo, Bia did it first. Because you got to think about it. Like, you're the, you know, we'll get to this question, but you're the first to do this as far as female hip hop artists. So, you know what I'm saying? That's something.
I feel honored to do that. And like I said, like, I'm just trying to open more doors and show people, like, you know, we're really not that different after all.
That's it. How big is this partnership for you personally and for the culture?
It's huge for me, my team, and the culture, because like, I'm coming from Boston, so we're already just number one. Like, we love our teams, we love our sports. So everybody back home is like, yes, like, this is not only for us, it's for the Bruins, it's not only for Latinos and for the Black people, but this is for all of us. Like, this is for everyone. So, you know, like, I just look at it like a real blessing to be able to just bring two cultures like that together. And, you know, it's so indescribable because I didn't even think that something like that was possible when I made a song like Skate, but I had the NHL, like, you know, just hockey in my mind, like, you know, wrist Stanley Cup. That was the vibe, but it's like, you don't think that you're going to get to places like that because we're not really heavily in places like that. So.
Yeah. Very interesting point to be made, because there's a lot of hip hop artists who have made like references to the National Hockey League or hockey in their lyrics, and never has that collaboration ever happened. So, you know, big shout out to Bruno. That's my man right there.
Bruno. And you know what? Big shout out to the NHL, because like, they're taking a risk with their audience, and you know, they're taking a risk with their audience doing that with me, because not everyone's going to love it, you know, the first go around, but it's like, it's like they have to do that to show people, like, you know, hey, let's open up. Like, they have to be the first ones to do that in order for other people to accept it. And I respect them so much for that. And I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, I could dig that. So fashion is huge in your world. And, you know, I always thought that the best female in a hockey jersey was Rihanna. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but when you get a chance.
Yes, that's my girl. I love the way she wore it.
Okay. So we're talking about, for those out there, Rihanna wearing a Ottawa Senators. It was made into a dress, and that was pretty banging. You took it to another level. I just want to say you hold the crown. You and Rihanna, you know, neck and neck, but how you guys rocked that, it was pretty dope. Did you have influence on how that was going to be made, or was that like your team just put that together?
My staff, Grace, we work very closely. And I told her, I was like, I want to turn this into a dress, and I want to like have, you know, some type of tassels. And she was like, all right, hold on, give me a second. She sent me some ideas and we made it happen. It was crazy.
That is dope. And I'll tell you this. I'm going to give you a little tip, okay? When you start touring, when things open back up and you get to Canada and mm-hmm. you start doing shows in the different cities of Canada, if you want your audience to pop, do that in every city with that city's jersey. So if you're in Calgary, you get a Calgary Flames jersey, you cut it up. Edmonton, Toronto, Vancouver, the whole night.
You just gave me a gem.
I'm saying, because soon as you walk on the stage, it's going to pop. And which is so interesting because, you know, it's an old, not a gimmick, but it's an old tradition that when hip hop artists came to Canada, whatever city they're in, you wore the official and everybody goes nuts. So just, and I think you would take it to a next level. So just give me a little thing to think about. Okay.
No, I would definitely try.
Wicked. So how has your fans and your crew taken on you working with the NHL? How's the response been from your viewpoint?
They're so happy, and like mainly because I'm the first to do it, so they're like they're feeling the same way that I'm feeling. It's been so much support. It's been so many people reposting it, and like, you know, It's actually been really crazy because people that I didn't even think cared about, you know, what's going on or care about hockey or caring about what we're doing. So it's like, It's dope.
Good. So like you said, you are the first female hip hop artist to really walk into this lane. And I have to commend you on that move because it's different and it's a whole new stream for you. What are your hopes? Is this going to be a one-off or is there any plan on working with the NHL in the future?
Actually, it's so crazy that you say that because I've been harassing Bruno to get me on the phone with the NHL to do jerseys. And I'm like, please tell the NHL I want to help be a part of the design team. Me and Grace, call us. Like, we love NHL. We love the jerseys. And we want to bring some, like, fly girl presence to the NHL. So I think there's so many female hockey fans that like they need those jerseys. Like they need some like drip on the ice. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. It's man, I'm hyped. I'm really hyped. I really think that there is a bright future for you and your career for one, but your work with the NHL, I think there's so many different possibilities. And again, just from a fashion perspective, we know that in our community, fashion is related to sports, as it was related to music, as it relates to so many things, how we walk in our lives. And so why not do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And how many guys want to go to a hockey game with their jersey and have their girl like in a fire jersey with a boot, you know what I'm saying, on the ice? Like, we can really get, we could do something, NHL. Like, you know what I'm saying?
We could do something. Definitely get busy. I just got like one more for you, but the National Hockey League is trying to attract more diverse audiences. How does an artist like you help in that mission?
I think it definitely shows people that you're welcome here. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's really important because a lot of us don't venture off into spaces that we don't know that we're welcome or we're accepted. So it's like, you know, them accepting me so openly and so, you know, just seeing what we're doing and being the first to do it, I think it's gonna open a lot of eyes for other artists. And there's a lot of other artists that are fans of hockey. And, you know, the hockey fans are fans of rap, you know? So now they can kind of like tap in and say like, okay, well, we want this person and we want that person too. It just opens doors for everyone.
I love it. When we get back to some sort of normal, Bia, can we go to an NHL game together?
Please.
We are gonna go to a Toronto versus Boston game. I'm from the T-Dot. I represent the Six. And you know, our arch nemesis is Boston Bruins. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to get a camera and we're going to follow Bia to a game, and you and I are going to go. We're going to have a friendly little rivalry, and we're going to have a friendly competition.
I would love that. As long as you don't give me no crap about wearing my Bruins jersey, because you know I'm going to wear my jersey. And you know my jersey's going to be more custom than your little Toronto jersey.
That's definitely for sure. Bia, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Let everybody know what's next, what's coming up, anything you want to promote, hit them with it right now.
Look out for my single, Whole Lot of Money. It's going crazy right now. And my EP, For Certain. The deluxe is on the way, y'all. It's your favorite cover girl, Bia, checking out. And I'm so thankful for y'all having me here. Thank you so much.
Bia. One love, girl. One love.
Peace. Thank you.
Wow. That was the cover girl, Bia. Her single is called Whole Lot of Money. The EP is called For Certain. Make sure you check it out when you get a chance to. Big shout out and thank you to Epic Records for hooking this up. That was a lot of fun. And I hope that one day we can get Bia out to a hockey game. I really think she would have a great first time experience, especially at a Bruins game. This is how we expand and grow the game. So we'll see what happens next season. But for now, it's time for us to check out for Akil Thomas, Elijah Roberts, Brother B. My name is Kwame, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. G's a dozen, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power, statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson, I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and know the, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, 'cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house with a gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.